The Nuggets got a signature win two nights ago. I think it's a signature win. And I know Denver was playing without Jamal Murray for four games before Murray returned against the Warriors. But, you know, emotionally you're in a different place because you know that, you know, Jamal's not coming back. Like, that's actually happening. And the way that the team responded against a team that was just in the NBA Finals a year ago, just cracking them upside the head and running the Miami Heat off the floor, I thought it was noteworthy. And to discuss it more, we got our guy, Matt Moore, who our Nuggets insider, courtesy of Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets. Matt, do you agree with me? Did you think that win the other night was under the category of signature regular season wins for this season?
I don't think I can go there with you. And the reason I think is to do so would be to downplay how good the rest of the team is. I think that's the key here is, like, did they play inspired ball versus a team that was giving them their best effort, like taking down a dominant squad? No. And so then the implication is like, yeah, but no, but Jamal Murray. And it's like, well, look, this team's still really good. They still got the MVP in Nikola Jokic. They still got Aaron Gordon. They still got Michael Porter Jr., who is back to being on a tear after that game, I think. They still have, you know, capable veterans and good players and are well coached and we're at home. I think you're right to note that there was no letdown, right? Like, so they could have just been like, what's the point? We're not going anywhere. Season's over, which is how most of the fan base understandably has been this week. But instead the Nuggets are like, no, we're professionals. We're still really good and we're going to whip you. And I think you can give them credit. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a signature win though, because the implications for Jamal are so much greater for the playoffs than the regular season.
Matt Moore, join us. Matt, Michael Porter Jr. I mean, he was awesome. He made some tough, tough shots there in the first half. Talk about him. Should this be our expectation now that, you know, Jamal's out? Obviously, he's going to get more opportunities. He's got to be more of the guy. Should we expect more of this? I know he was playing well beforehand, but now it's almost like this is my expectation here the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get enough shots that you need to expect 20 points per night. The question is going to be, what's the shooting like? And yeah. We said this since last year. It is crazy how efficient this kid is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just nuts that he, you know, based off of his entire career, you could say, like, he's probably going to be a 50, 40, 90 shooter for his career. That's crazy. Like, that's just crazy talk, especially for a guy 6'10". The rebounding effort was really good.
Yes.
You know, this may be, look, there's no upside. I've said this a lot. There's no upside to Jamal Porter. There's not. But for Porter in particular, he has had to earn so much and had to work his way into his role. And now maybe this is an opportunity to be like, look, we asked you to do all these things, to get better on offense, to get better on defense, to understand how to play with others, to corral your shooting instincts, to get better at being floor smart. And you've done those things. And now we need you. And so now you're going to get the role that you wanted. And I think also he's learned, like, how valuable and how important and how good winning can be in the NBA. And so, like, this is an opportunity for all of it to come together and for Porter to establish himself and to build on his game and learn what it's like when you're the number two guy on the scouting report versus the three or four, and learn, you know, how to react to those things, how to still have good games, you know, to go through the ups and downs, but hopefully have success, build confidence, and become the star player that Denver believes he can be.
Yeah, Matt Moore. Matt, well, real quick, another guy, Aaron Gordon. For you know, you look at his two previous games before that Heat game, both losses. He only took five shots, 10 shots combined, five shots in each of those games. And then you see now maybe a little bit more getting comfortable, and he knows he's got to step up his game offensively a little bit more. Took 11 shots, 7-for-11. Do you expect to see him more involved offensively and being a little bit more aggressive now also?
Yeah, I expect to see him more involved. The question is going to be, can he maintain the efficiency? That's going to be the real challenge because, you know, he'll get a fair amount of cuts. He'll still get the dunks. He'll still get, you know, a lot of opportunities at the rim. The question is going to be on, you know, he was left open from three. And teams, that is going to become a pressure point now. Teams are going to say, all right, we got to dare Gordon to beat us from the outside. Now, Gordon's really good about taking those opportunities and attacking the rim because of his athleticism. But there are going to be points where he has to make those threes. He hasn't shot well from three since he got to Denver, but there was a promising game the other night. He was shooting well in Orlando. if he can continue to hit threes, that's going to help a lot. And I think Gordon won't have any problems adjusting to a bigger offensive role. He was that in Orlando. He's still playing behind, you know, with Jokic, who obviously makes everything work. And so I think he's ready to step up and give more. And early on, I think he was really determined not to take too much. And so now he can get a little bit more aggressive because he knows that's what the team needs from him.
Matt, and Matt Moore of the Action Network dropping by here live on Stokely and Zach. When we talk about best case scenario and worst case scenario for this season alone with this group without Jamal, NBA playoffs starting in about, I don't know, a month or so. When we get to that point, best case, worst case for this group?
I don't think there's that bad of a worst case because no matter what happens, everyone's going to go, yeah, but they didn't have Murray. Like, everyone understands. Like, they didn't have Jamal Murray. And that just changes your expectations a little bit. Best case, I think, they're either in the 3-6 versus Dallas or Portland, which is unlikely but possible. And they win a first-round series. And I would have to think pretty hard about the Suns. I don't think the Suns are just categorically better than the Nuggets, even without Murray. I'm not ready to go there yet. The Suns are really good, but I am not ready to go there yet in a playoff environment when Devin Booker hasn't played. The worst-case scenario is obviously the 4-5 versus the Lakers. And then basically what happens is the Nuggets just get waxed because they don't have Murray to apply enough pressure with tough shots. And then everyone says, like, this is your MVP that gets bounced in the first round. Mm-hmm. That to me is like the worst case scenario, but that's all just narrative stuff for the team. It's just like, look, you know, let's go prove them wrong. They're in a spot where nobody believes in them. That's where you always want to be as a professional athlete. And they can go out there and show people they're still going to be really good. They're still going to be really tough. You avoid any further injury. Obviously the big key, don't keep everybody together. Don't get, you know, you had that period where you were starting to get really frustrated with the officials and the mood was bad. You can't have that anymore. Like, these are the tough times. You got to rise up and at least do everything you can to make your opponent work for it. And I think with Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic, I think they'll do just that.
Matt Moore hanging out with us here on Stokely and Zach. Last one from me. It's about the MVP of this league. And, man, I was listening to Brian Windhorst's podcast. So you already know where I'm going. Brian Windhorst, who we all know from ESPN, has a podcast called The Hoop Collective. And he had on two guests who both work for ESPN, Tim Bontemps and Tim McMahon. And, man, to say that things got spicy, I think, is putting it way too mild. It turned into almost a contentious argument with name calling at one point. It was fascinating to listen to. And really the center of the argument was like a Jokic in the straw poll got an overwhelming number of votes for MVP. And Windhorst was saying that I can't believe that you guys are being so obtuse, and the reason that you aren't considering Joel Embiid anymore because someone fell into his knee. And because someone fell into his knee and he missed 10 games, you guys are being, you know, dismissive. And it was a incredibly fascinating conversation. Like I said, full of tension. What did you make of the conversation, but also the big conversation with Jokic and MVP? Can he cross the finish line and be the first Denver Nugget to win this thing?
I've caught snippets of it. I haven't sat down to listen to it because I'm going to have to, like, chew through it as somebody that covers the MVP as much as I've covered anything in my career. I'll say this. I'm ready to call it. I'll tell you that. I'm ready to call it because here's the problem. Even if Embiid comes back and plays awesome, everyone's still going to be able to look and go, like, yeah, but Jokic has been off. Like, especially if the Nuggets don't slide. The only way that this really gets tough is if Jokic hits a dip and starts to really struggle to score and his overall averages go down considerably, which I don't think will happen with Murray out. And then on top of it, the Nuggets slide as well. But even if they slide, there's going to be a consideration of like, well, look, they're without Jamal Murray. Like, what do you want? A lot of the talk about wins, the Nuggets play in the West, the Sixers play in the East. The defensive conversation will probably get more nuanced as people start to realize that Jokic isn't as bad of a defender as some folks think he is. I think Brian Windhorst, who has always been great to me in my career, great reporter. I do think that going to be the problem, though, I think, with some of the votes. The straw poll surprised me because I still think that there is a resistance from the vast voting bloc. I don't think voters want to give it to Jokic. I feel like they think they have to give it to Jokic. And that's going to be the battle the rest of the way. If anybody gives them a reason not to, they will opt for it. But Jokic has been so dominant, played in every game. I feel very confident that he is going to win the MVP.
I love to hear it.
I
have a $35 preseason bet on Jokic to win the MVP. I need this thing to cross the finish line. I had Gonzaga, and they were right there, preseason bet, and they couldn't come through for me. So I need this to cross the finish line. Matt, you're the best. I'm going to ask you to jump on a podcast here with me at some point next week, so just to give you a heads up on that. But as always, we appreciate you coming by and appreciate your time.
Thanks, Matt.
Anytime for you guys. Take care.
All right, there he goes, Matt Moore, our guy. And this is KKFN. KKFN.